just last Saturday morning, our firstborn left our driveway in a Chevy Blazer that's a lot older than him. He's 19. And he drove all the way to Bozeman, Montana, where he's starting his second year in college. And he was home for just a week, but one night during that week, we got out the old photo albums, and I saw some pictures of my husband Matt and me in the days leading up to our son's birth. And you know, so here's us getting his room ready. Here's me showing off my huge belly. And these photos got me to thinking about those days and how very challenging it was to be pregnant. And at that time, we were in our 30s. We were living in Tacoma, Washington. My husband was teaching at the university there. I was a middle school teacher, and we had a lovely old home. And when this was announced, everyone was very happy for us, and we got lots of attention. And it turned out that the attention was the only good thing about being pregnant, because I was very, very ill all the time. And I'm talking about unrelenting nausea, not confined to the morning, not confined to the first trimester, all day, day after day, month after month. And so I was the woman at the stoplight in the car in front of you who opens the door and barfs right there on the pavement. I was the teacher who says, "Excuse me, class," and barfs into the round metal trash can next to my desk. So it was misery. And you might be thinking, oh, well, you know, pregnancy, it's a miracle and it's a blessing and it's a privilege. And, you know, couldn't you just suck it up? I mean, at the end of the 9 months, you get a baby after all. And I did want a baby. And I did not take my fertility in my mid-30s for granted or anything like that. But the thing is, when you're pregnant with your first child, you don't believe a baby is even in there. You do not believe it because it's unbelievable. It's so mind-blowing. You cannot comprehend it. You cannot. So I was more like an immigrant on a long Atlantic crossing, and I'm standing at the railing, and I'm heaving over the side every few minutes, and the seas are rough, and it's going on and on and on, and I'm just thinking, why the hell did I get on this friggin' boat? That's what pregnancy was like for me. And all the while this is going on, I'm being oppressed and tormented by this book that every pregnant woman was given by someone, some female relative. And it was called What to Expect When You're Expecting. And this is a big, thick book full of information, most of it about what you should and should not be doing. And for example, you're supposed to eat at least 50 different vegetables every day. And so I already felt like a terrible mom, because the only things I could really digest were things like potato chips and M&Ms. So eventually my midwife had took mercy and was maybe a little concerned that I wasn't gaining much weight. And she gave me these little pills that took the edge off. They took the edge off just enough so I could broaden my diet a little. But I was still pretty miserable. But now it's month 6 or 7. It's time to think about the childbirth itself. And it's time to sign up for one of those classes, which everyone tells you to take. And so we found one called, I think, Informed Beginnings, something like that. And it was taught by a very nice woman, a very gentle, soft-spoken woman with long braids and Birkenstocks. And she had helped deliver hundreds of babies because she was a doula, that's a childbirth coach. Plus, she had children of her own, so she knew everything. And so the class was pleasant enough. There's like six couples. We're all happy, you know, expecting our first child. And we're sitting on pillows, and we're going over handouts and asking the teacher questions and learning how to do labor massage and stuff like this. So a few weeks into this class, she announces she's going to show us this video of a woman going through labor and childbirth. And and then we're going to discuss it. We're going to discuss what happens afterwards. So we've got dark-haired mom. She's at home. She's in labor. kind of pacing around her house. She calls her doctor, and then her husband drives her to the hospital. Now the labor pains are pretty intense. She's not happy, and she asks the doctor for an epidural. And so he rolls her over, and the camera's real close in there, and the nurse hands him this huge needle, this huge hypodermic, and the camera's right on it, and she shoves it right into her spine, and it's the most horrible thing to watch, and then rolls back over, and then the whole rest of the labor goes badly. Nothing goes right, so labor's not progressing. She's in a lot of pain, but her cervix isn't dilating like it's supposed to. And then there's one medical intervention after another. So she gets an IV drip, and then she's given this drug that makes her labor really fast and hard, and then it goes on and on, and it's just all falling apart. And then eventually she ends up getting a cesarean section, which we're told is very risky. And so she goes through that, and it's, you know, surgery, and she ends up with a baby. The baby's fine, but she's not doing so well, and we're told that it's going to take her weeks to recover. She's going to be in a lot of pain. It's going to be very hard for her to take care of that baby. So at the end of the film, we discuss it, and we all agree that, you know, that she was very foolish for asking for that epidural that led to all this medical stuff, and that natural childbirth is definitely the way to go. That's the way we're all going to go, and we're going to just suck it up. When we're in pain, we're going to suck it up, and we're not going. And you know what? We're turning to our husbands and saying, "Don't let me get an epidural. No matter what, I don't want an epidural. I don't want any pain relief at all. I'm just going to suck it up." So then the next week. And then on the ride home, Matt and I both discuss how glad we are that we're in the class, because we didn't know this. We didn't know all this. Now we know not to go through that medical stuff. So the next week, she shows us a very different film. Now we've got blonde mom, pretty blonde mom. She's at home. She's in labor, surrounded by her husband and several tow-headed children, and she's pacing around the house, kind of moaning, breathing heavily. Every once in a while, she grabs a piece of furniture, and then the midwife arrives, because blonde mom is not even going to the hospital. She's not even going to the hospital. She's going to give birth at home. This is the plan all along. And so now the video skips the next few hours of labor, and blonde mom is now lying on her side on her bed, and she looks terrible. Her face is contorted with pain, and she's just pouring sweat, and her hair is all matted down, and there are sounds coming out of her that are inhuman. She sounds like a huge animal, like dying. She sounds like a moose. It's horrible. It's horrible to look at her and listen to her. And her children are wandering in and out of the room, and I'm wondering why they're not traumatized and why they're not scared. And then her husband keeps rubbing her back and saying soothing things, and I wonder why she just hasn't killed him. And it's all just a horrible, horrible scene. And then we jump another few hours. Now she's in what's called transition. This is the worst, most intense part of labor. She's squatting on her bed. She doesn't look like herself at all. She doesn't resemble the pretty woman at the beginning of the film at all. And she's squatting on the bed, and she's like howling and roaring with pain, and she's just shaking violently. And I'm watching this, and I keep looking away. I can't even watch. And every once in a while, I remember that I'm pregnant. And in just a few weeks, if not sooner, I'm going to have to go through labor just like that woman. And it's a horrifying thought. So she has her baby. She laughs and cries with joy. The family's all happy. Film ends. I don't even remember the discussion afterwards. I was so traumatized, just sort of staring. And I do remember, though, the drive home with Matt. He's driving, and I'm over the passenger side, you know, the seatbelt over my gigantic belly, and I'm sobbing, and I'm saying over and over, I can't do this. I can't do this. Matt doesn't know what to say. And I feel that that was the start of parenthood for me, that powerless feeling, that feeling of inadequacy, was the start of motherhood. Thank you.